Now I'm talking with an LA chef who has a good deal of experience with food festivals as well as pop-ups.
I felt like I should be at these events. I felt like it was important for not just the restaurants, but for my career.
That's Royce Burke of the pop-up Secret Lasagna and Yarrow Cafe at Cognoscenti Coffee. So we were talking with Hannah Raskin about the economics of food festivals. You do a lot on the festival side. Most recently, you were at the Taste in Orange County and the Hundreds Family Style Food Festival. And I know coming up you have...
ComplexCon. It's coming up on the 2nd, 3rd.
So have you ever kept count? How many...
I was doing some rudimentary math earlier, and I think it's somewhere between 15 and 20 food festivals I've done over the last couple of years of having my own places.
Talk to me about the pitches that you get to do festivals. Like, I know the one you just did at The Taste, you were affiliated with Guinness.
Yeah, so that was it was kind of a last-minute thing with them, where my good friend Bert Backman from Slab had double-booked himself for the umpteenth time because he's a very busy, popular fellow. And so they called me. They just asked if I could come in and do it. I wanted to make sure, you know, the cost of goods were covered. And a friend of mine lives down there and wanted to go to the festival. So I was like, I'll do it. I'll cook for, you know, 3,600 people. So that me and my friends can come to the festival.
When you sign on like that, where you're like a hired gun for a company, are you actually a hired gun? Are they paying you aside from covering the cost of the food?
I think there's a very tricky areas, especially when it's LA Times events, where they are very particular about not paying people to be there. So it's with the sponsor. So technically, they're just covering the cost of goods. I mean, I think if you really wanted to, you could probably find a way to work your fees into the cost of goods. But
I get it. Do you believe the promise of marketing / visibility pans out for most chefs?
The more I've been thinking about it, I think the people who need that publicity the most are the people who really can't afford to do a lot of the festivals. Like, I've done The Taste as an exhibitor before for my restaurants. I will say for the LA Times, there's never a promise of added, you know, publicity or people writing about you on the editorial side. Obviously, if you're on the website, you're included in the promotion for that event, which is good press for you. And as far as The Taste goes and things like LA Food and Wine, you're at, where you're actually in Los Angeles, you're at least exhibiting to people who are, you have a higher possibility of getting them into your restaurant than, let's say, if, you know, I've done Pebble Beach Food and Wine 2 years in a row now. I don't really expect a lot of people who are coming to Pebble Beach to come to, you know, burrito or a random pop-up for Secret Lasagna at Tabula Rasa or something. Certain festivals, I think, are more of a prestige thing where your name is being listed among other calibers of chefs, and it's just how it changes how you're perceived as a chef.
Do you think that pop-ups have almost taken the place of food trucks for people who want to start doing something but aren't ready to make a commitment to brick and mortar?
Yes. I think I've been thinking about this a lot. One, I've been talking to my friend Zoe, who has Zoe Pita Party, a lot recently about her experience and coming from owning a brick and mortar, realizing how ridiculous it is and how hard it is, as we've both experienced. And her only interest is just doing pop-ups and doing the things, like doing it in the way she wants to do. So there's no desire to build that into a brick and mortar. Whereas I've had conversations with like Ellen from Goldberger, who has sat down with me to ask me how to take it to a brick and mortar. And I always take it on a case-by-case basis. I am fast to encourage people not to open a brick and mortar.
And we should say that most people who are existing doing pop-ups are also probably catering and doing some private cooking. And
yes,
it's a peripatetic life.
It is. That's a good word. You don't make a lot of money on pop-ups.
So how many festivals have you done where you actually did make money? Festivals or pop-ups?
It's hit or miss. Literally maybe two festivals I've done where I've made money. I mean, it's, to be fair, I think there's, I've never thought about them as necessarily festivals as a money-making endeavor. And each one is different. Like Family Style Festival, the hundreds through, you are selling your food. A lot of these festivals are just promotional events where, you know, even if it's LA Food and Wine or Pebble Beach Food and Wine, they will agree to cover a certain amount of food costs per item.
But when you go up to Pebble Beach, you're, you know, unless you're sleeping in your car, there's also the expenses of getting there and staying.
Right. I think with, as far as I know, and I understand that everyone has, I've been learning more and more that everyone has different experiences, that you are put up there when you go to Pebble Beach. I've always been put up. And then last year was my second year. They flew me out, which is how I still had my team come up separately with, you know, all of the prepared food in the truck. But I mean, and if you really wanted to, you could make all of the portions there in one of the hotel kitchens, but cooking in a hotel kitchen that is incredibly busy already and making 2,100 portions of something is not really my idea of a good time.
So going forward, now that you've been thinking about this so much, you've been asked to think about it a lot, what's the criteria you would use to decide whether or not to participate?
I'm genuinely kind of, it's concerning to me, and this is something I've learned really a lot. I learned a lot just talking to fellow chefs who haven't had as much courtesy extended to them as I have by some of these festivals. And, you know, it's always, I think, important to recognize if you're being more looked after or more privileged than other people around you, especially if it's from another culture or another type of food. I think I don't want to do any festivals where at least, you know, my cost of goods aren't covered. If it's a promotional event, I think it's really important to start making sure that those, if most of these festivals will have, like, whether it's 50 cents or 25 cents a portion, they'll say, this is how much food costs we're going to cover. Now that should, and they're telling you, you need to prepare between, you know, 1,200 to 2,100 portions. I think that should be paid up front to the vendors because
you're being asked by an organization which is selling tickets and are presumably making a profit to front load the expenses yourself.
Exactly. That's a difficult thing, especially when you're the type of restaurant who really needs that exposure. When you're a large restaurant that has a bigger marketing budget, that's another story. You know, you can front that. It's, I've never been in a position where I really could. I've always have because I felt like I should. I felt like I should be at these events. I felt like it was important for not just the restaurants, but for my career. And with Yarrow, I did so many festivals in that first year I was open. I think it was one of the mistakes I made. There's a lot of expense incurred with that. And sometimes you don't get reimbursed. You know, it's not a ton of money. It's maybe, you know, $800 to $1,200 of reimbursement. But that a lot of times you don't see that for a year.
And that makes a huge difference.
Huge
when you're
difference.
A small business.
And when you're trying to, you know, make payroll every week. And yeah, it's difficult.
Such an interesting question. It'll be interesting to revisit over time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Chef Royce Burke of Secret Lasagna and Yarrow Cafe at Cognoscenti Coffee. Yesterday was World Pasta Day, so it's the perfect time to be talking lasagna. After the break, my conversation with food writer Anna Heasel about one of my favorite dishes. Stick around.